Hi, this is Laurie McNeil of McNeil Benefits in Richmond, B.C. This is Benefits Genius Podcast number 33.
Hey, I'm Howard Kettner. And I was recently having a talk with myself about these podcasts and got to thinking, you know, there's a fair amount of work involved in lining up and coordinating with the amazing guests that agree to do a podcast. And then there have been some recent equipment upgrades, and there's the editing, the posting, and the hosting. And being I'm an entrepreneur at heart, that got me saying to myself, you know what? I should get some financial sponsors for these podcasts. That's what other podcasters do. And then, just about as quickly as that thought presented itself, I realized that the Benefits Genius podcasts exist because of some very loyal sponsors. Here's what I mean. Benefits Genius and these podcasts were created as the result of support. Support from folks like Laurie McNeil, who introduced this podcast. I say it often, Laurie put me in business and kept me in business. And that started over 35 years ago. He provided product, process, and price tips, tools, and techniques, along with inspiration and encouragement, as well as being a willing listener. He did all that in his role as the representative of a major insurer supplier. Then, as an advisor working for a large Canadian firm, and most recently, as an independent advisor running his very own, very successful firm, in which he gets to work alongside his son Dave and daughter Jennifer. I said Laurie is a sponsor. Here's the deal. Laurie was one of the very first to put down his credit card for the full annual amount of a Benefits Genius membership over 3 years ago, when it cost a lot more than it does now. Hey, let's be truthful. Laurie doesn't need Benefits Genius. He taught and mentored and encouraged me. But Laurie believes in the independent Canadian benefit plan advisor and anything that will help make the journey easier, more efficient, and more rewarding for those committed to excellence. And so, Laurie continues to renew his Benefits Genius membership year after year. Without Laurie and a host of others like him, these podcasts would not be here. If you appreciate what Laurie does to make a difference, just shoot him a quick note of thanks or introduction. That's Laurie, L-A-U-R-I-E, at McNeil Benefits. That's M-A-C-N-E-I-L. Benefits, Laurie at McNeilBenefits.com. Now, stay tuned for the first podcast where I get to host not one guest, not two, but three very special and enormously engaging guests. All three are benefits advisors. All three have something in common with Laurie McNeil in that they're part of the Benefits Genius faculty. Dave Patriarch is a repeat guest, but this is John Corrigan's and Michael Kettner's very first guest podcast experience. Let's see how they do. And stay tuned right to the end of this podcast, meaning listen through the podcast outro music, because it's after that where I've added a little piece of extra value that I think is going to interest you. Enjoy. So here we are. I'm sitting here with Dave Patriarch, who presents regularly at Benefits Genius events. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having me.
Michael Kettner, you presented two or three times, made a great contribution to our audience.
Enjoyed the experience for sure.
Awesome. And John, you've shared your wisdom with us. You come up with these neatest little pieces of technology and tools to create a difference, and
you're going to be only talking about 9 times over the next day and a half here.
Thanks, Howard. Glad to be here.
And so this is all happening just before the Toronto event here in September. And I just think that some of the best conversations that I have will wrap up with me thinking, I wish I had captured this whole thing for the Benefits Genius audience. Just the exchange of ideas, the thought processes of folks that are engaged and out there right on the front lines doing what each of you do every day and doing it differently.
If you could record one set of conversations, it's after the event, over cocktails, when everybody's been information overloaded and they're all excited about all the stuff they've heard, that's the one I'd like to record.
Yeah.
Because that everybody's totally pumped. Everybody's sharing success stories and everything. And you've got all these brokers in all one room and they're just all overflowing with emotion and stuff.
Everybody's excited, right? You get new ideas from the people in the room and everybody's talking. It's like you come away super charged up and ready to go at it again, right?
Even the new connections, because yeah, like everyone approaches business so different, and whether it's technology or whether it's just a different approach with clients or prospects, it's that funnel of ideas that you have access to that's of true value.
And not just ideas, but experiences. One of the great things of networking with so many people, whether it's Benefits Genius or people's study groups and so on, is you're learning from your experiences, but you're also learning from everybody else's around you. So if somebody stumbles and shares it, if people are honest and vulnerable and put it out there, then you don't have to stumble that same way. And that pays dividends huge.
For sure. And you take it and make it your own, right? Because we've shared things about video, different things that we're doing with prospects and clients. And what I do with video is completely different than what Michael does with video. And he's got his own unique style. So
Even just coming in here today, and we did a little video podcast, and I've done recordings, we've done podcasts with Benefits Genius and everything, and they're all totally different kind of focus, and some are an individual statement, other ones are interviews, and all over the place. So it's pretty cool to watch how it all works.
So just before we bounce back to John here and say, what do you do with video, and what was this about you videoing Dave today, and where are you taking that, because you've really got me intrigued. I just want to say, so we don't leave our audience hanging, that's going to be the next podcast that is, let's do one after the event.
Cool, I'm in. Yeah, for sure. That's when we're emotionally drained, we're kind of slurring our words from being tired, but I think that's where you capture the best stuff, and I'd be up for that.
And it'll involve beer.
And the beer, it's always good.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, John, start with what you came to town for, or why you brought video equipment to town.
Well, I kind of want to start. So I'll start at the very beginning, right? I was inspired by you, first of all, doing video for us. And I thought that would be really awesome to start doing that for clients and sort of doing it in a more personal way. After I ended up getting some video equipment and I started doing a few videos here and there, it kind of blossomed and I started branching out and doing things like orientation videos. I'm doing, how to make claims, things like that for clients.
So you're frequently asked questions.
Yeah, frequently asked questions, right? And it's also allowing me to leverage my time. So I don't know how many times you guys have, you've got a client and they're just too busy to do orientation meetings because there's 2 shifts or whatever. And so that doesn't get done. And then you switch a plan and somebody's dissatisfied because they can't figure out how to sign up online, like that kind of stuff, right? So I'm doing that so that it's making it easier for clients to give that information to their members.
Work smarter, not harder.
Exactly, yeah. Right? But, what I came here to do, well, obviously I came here to do some presentations on what I'm doing with some of that stuff, but I had an idea where I thought, what I'm going to start doing is, I don't know what I'm going to call them yet. Maybe I'll have different series. I might have one called Digital Broker or Digital Advisor, where it's me talking with other advisors about the topics that our clients really need to understand, right? At the end of the day, you can say people are competition, but we're all here for the client, right?
Yeah.
That idea stemmed from another idea I had where I said to myself, okay, why don't I do something where I can take my centers of influence, my clients, and even prospective clients, and interview them and learn a little bit about their business and introduce them, to our world of Facebook. And I'm putting it out on my Facebook page, but I'm promoting them, and we get to kind of talk and have a conversation, learn about them, and promote them throughout the community. Because, I'm very community-oriented that way. And I'm just going to see where that goes. I haven't even done it yet. But it's that kind of stuff that I'm excited to get working on with video. So.
And so you were interviewing Dave for a bit. And where are you going to take that end result?
So I was interviewing him, and it was based around sort of the plan administrator checklist and the risk liability kind of thing that clients face, right? Because thank you, Dave, for bringing that into our world, because that is something that has created tremendous value for me, first of all, in talking with my clients and with prospective clients.
And hats off to you for using it. I was saying to John earlier, I've put about 1,000 brokers through that course, and there's very few that have actually made the list and used it on a regular basis. So hats off to you for taking it for what it is and what it should be, making it your own, and taking it to your clients, because it's great to see.
And just down a little rabbit hole for a minute, Michael, you love the PA checklist. How are you using it? Then we'll circle back to videos.
Yeah, hey, touch on the video first, because I think that's it, and then I can get to the PA checklist. But I've started interviewing suppliers on video. Like, I just invite them to my, and I'm very low tech.
So a supplier as in?
Like Cigna Business Travel. Right, like something that I know enough about to be dangerous, but I don't know all the ins and outs and why it's different compared to a normal group benefit plan. I'm learning, but really wanting to lean on their expertise. And so recently I just interviewed one of their reps, and we're done it over video. And so I can push that out to clients or prospects or anyone and just say, you know, these are the types of situations where this applies. And these are the things you got to watch for. This is the liability with business travel, especially down to the States. I'm the expert for bringing it, but yet I don't really know a whole bunch about it, and can offload the liability for the words that are said onto the supplier.
And you know the subject matter experts to go to get it. So that's the key, right?
Yeah.
It's not what you know. It's all the people that you know and the information you can get from them. So.
Exactly. So that's what we're doing. But it's very low tech. I just set up my monitor. I raised my desk. I have one of those standing desks. So I raised the monitor and interview them in my office, just standing up.
And your fancy equipment consists of?
My desktop computer it's a Mac computer with a camera on top. And I edit things in iMovie. And my assistant cuts it up and edits it. And we ship it out within half an hour.
Wow.
And all the software is free with your Mac.
Exactly.
Available to the iTunes store, Apple store. Yeah. I'm a Mac guy too, I have to admit. So, yeah.
And John, now you use some different equipment, and you got started. You used a teleprompter so that your responses to frequently asked questions could be clear, concise, and legally defensible where necessary.
Yeah. For me, it's difficult to be very on the fly. Like, I have to have something in front of me. Like, even what we're going to talk about is like for scripting, for making calls and stuff. I have to have, I'm like you, I have to have everything prepared in advance. I got to know how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I plan.
I have like the branches. I got to know what, you know, if he says this, this is where I'm going to go. You know, this is the brush off, if he tries to brush me off and say this, this is what I'm going to say. I have to have all that stuff prepared in front of me, right? So the teleprompter helps huge that way, because you can set the pace. You're watching it, and you can do everything in one take, because I was really concerned about the time that I would have to spend learning how to edit stuff in the beginning, because editing software is complex a lot of the times, and it's super intimidating, right? Now, I found a solution to that through a program called Filmora Wondershare, which is this editing program that's basically for dummies.
And so what is that, Filmora?
Filmora, like film with O-R-A.
Oh, okay, F-I-L-M.
Yeah, film, and then Aura. And then it's called Wondershare. And you can import files and you can add in layers. It's super easy. Like, that's the orientation video that we're going to be showing in the event in Toronto here. I did it like that, where I just layered another video over top that had the screen recording.
I was wondering how you did that.
Yeah, the screen recording of, like, it shows the cursor going up. Go to this.ca. Go to the booklets here, sign in here, boom, boom, boom. And then it goes to the next section where it says, you're going to want to sign up and make sure you can do online claims. And then it switches to the screen, and as cursor says, here you go, here, sign up here, put in your username, password, certificate number. It's like, it just walks people right through it.
I don't have to wait until tomorrow. I can get it all here now.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
That is awesome.
And you're hearing all this recorded like a week or two or three later. You've all missed out on the great event and all this stuff. Fillmore, look it up. That's cool.
But honestly, one of the best video stories I've heard was about your very first video and your secret ingredient that made it all a success. And if you could take a minute just to share. So you're sweating it out in front of the camera.
So we got the camera set up. We had the teleprompter up there, and I was trying to find cool backgrounds because you got to have a cool background. We're in the living room at my dad's place, and I didn't have any proper lighting, so I had this giant halogen floodlight that you put in your shop, and it was getting so hot.
Like the $49.95 Home Depot.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So it's like you get within 6 feet of the thing, and it's like 40 degrees. So anyways, I'm sitting there, and I'm sweating. And I'm trying to go through and do it. And even with a teleprompter, it still takes a bit of practice to get used to your pace and find your natural cadence and stuff, right? And so I'm doing this, and I'm just getting frustrated. And the secret ingredient is you just got to have a beer and relax. That's what it is. So we just sat there. We took a break, had a couple beers, and in between takes, I was sipping on my beers.
I love how you have to plan out what you're going to say and then drink to make it natural.
it's social lubricant, right? You need it.
That's awesome.
What Freud would say about all that.
now, Michael, you have a different teleprompter.
Oh, when I was first starting out, like, I'm very unscripted, and that's probably my downfall. I just like to talk to clients naturally without a lot of notes, and so I make my videos and all that. So my first videos, I was out of my home office, just wanted to knock one out quick and get it done because I had other things I needed to move on to. So I set up my iPhone on a little tripod from Amazon.ca, like just bought this thing for $23, put it on top of my ironing board, dragged the ironing board in the office, got it to the right height, and just filmed it off that. And I had a little yellow sticky hanging off the phone with the 3 points I wanted to go through.
And so what did that sound like, and who was it directed at? Who was your audience?
It was to a prospective client, and it was a meeting summary of what we had just talked about. And I just said, you know, as a phantom prospect, you know, hi, Diane, this is Michael Kettner from Kettner Benefits. And I just wanted to say thank you for allowing me to come in today. I know we had talked about this and this and this, and these are some of the things that we're going to follow up on. And, you know, thank you again for letting me send you this summary and look forward to our next conversation. And that was essentially it. And it was all done within 3.5 minutes.
And what happened?
It had a great, you know, I have this little program, and I think John uses something different, and maybe Howard used something similar, Streak. And so I saw that my video was shared 5 different times within the office, and it's a little add-on to my Gmail account. And
it just shows you when your stuff is opened.
And who opened it, and, you know, was it in Richmond, B.C.? Was it in Burnaby? Was it in South Surrey? Like, I know the times. I know if it was a mobile device. And so I knew that they were at least paying attention, and it got passed around.
So if you don't use Gmail, because you told me about that, you can get something called Banana Tag, which is the same thing. And it's a freebie, but you only get to send like 10 emails a day or something that you can track, right? That they're a business out of Kelowna or whatever. But yeah, you can find stuff like that. And it's beautiful to be able to track email, to be able to see who's looking at it, has been passed on. You can gauge the engagement of your prospective client.
I'm old school. I just look at my bank account. If my bank account is rising, my clients are engaged.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, if the bank account is not going up in direct proportion to the emails going out, we have a problem. So,
it's really funny, though, because I don't know if I should be sharing this on a podcast, but I sent a bit of a nuke email to a supplier. And I had my list of grievances all lined out with all my logic, fired it off. I know they read it 37 times all across the country and are taking it either very seriously or not. But in this case, they took it very seriously.
They're all laughing. To get fired.
They're all laughing.
That's okay. If they're reading it, you're getting your message out there. That's what counts, right? It's funny. I've never done a video. Like, I mean, I've done videos for CGIB where I'm the voice behind a slideshow, but I've never done it. And in a past life, I used to work in chambers of commerce and boards of trade, did business openings and stuff like that. So I'd end up like maybe having a quick couple words. And I remember meeting the guy who was and still is the mayor of Markham, the town I live in. And he was an ex-newscaster. So he used to work on the local cable station, and he was the anchorman, like small town anchorman thing. So he and I would be there, and their local news would be there to, you know, videotape this. And he'd walk over to them and say, "What do you need?" They go, "We need 30 seconds. So he goes, "Okay, give me the mic." okay, let's go. And they just grab the camera, aim on him, and he goes, yeah, that's a great question. And thanks for inviting me down to this grand opening. As a mayor, it's a wonderful thing to see growth of business. And he just do 30 seconds, plus or minus 1 second, that like the best question ever was just asked by this reporter, which they're going to make up later on. And I just went like, isn't that great that somebody can be that casual? Because I am, like you, John, at the time, was very scripted through the whole thing. And I'd have every flow chart of, you know, what's a good question, what's a bad question, and where does it all go? And I think as time goes on, you become more loose with the whole thing.
He must have gone to Toastmasters where he had that little red, yellow, and green light in his head almost.
He just had it from the job. He wasn't an anchor man, so that was his thing. It was kind of neat, and I had such envy of how can somebody know that that is it? And it's just practice. It's just somebody doing it every day, over and over again, doing ads, doing commercials. And one of the things he did was join us in the news coming up at 5 o'clock and hear about the fire, the horse that ran away and everything else. And that was 30 seconds. So he knew in his head what 30 seconds sounded like, you know. So just simple. But it's interesting. So it's neat watching you guys all do this stuff in different texts and with different audiences.
So are you going to try video?
No. I don't want your face anymore. They're like,
we haven't sold you.
No, I'll do the audio stuff. I'll do the podcast. I can hide behind the microphone. See, okay, so the microphone we're talking on is called a Blue Yeti microphone. As people know who have met me, I'm a pretty big guy. It's the only thing I can hide behind is a big Yeti. So, yeah, that's it. Keep me off of you.
But I hear Lori McNeil is doing video. So
sure. Something like him needs everything they can get, you know. Poor guy, you know. It's an ego boost for him. But John walked me into the world of video, so here I am. We'll see.
Oh, glad I could be your first.
Lost it to you.
but you know, what we're really talking about here is cutting through the noise. And Michael and Jod, and it was kind of you to say, Jod, that I'd suggest a video or that your idea had originated, but both of you have taken it to a whole new level, have a very natural ability around it, and are using it to reach your audience where others are failing. And John, I remember, I think I was as excited, maybe even more excited than you were, around the story with Ezra, that you had a prospect and...
It was very similar to kind of what Michael's talking about. So we had already had, they were in Kelowna, and we had gone to visit them probably 4 times by that point over the last month or so.
And by them, there was HR involved.
There was the head HR, there was the CEO,
and finance.
And the GM. So basically, we had a number of meetings with them, and it's at that point where you call them up and kind of go over a summary or what. And I thought, you know what, this is the perfect opportunity to do something more personal than a video. So that's what I did, was I hopped on and I did a bit of a script, and I had the points, the major points of sort of what each meeting was about, what we had talked about, what we had decided was the best option based on kind of what they were looking for, and just summarized everything. And just, it came out, and at the end of the day, I got an email back from the CEO, and he was like, capital wow, like, thank you. I've never received a personal message like that. That was really something else. I appreciate that. And then he sort of, in his own words, had let me know, you know, he said, you know, we had the other broker that you were competing with. I just want you to know, I didn't sit in on any of those meetings with him. So I don't really know the guy. And he sort of was trying to tell me that, you know, he was in my corner without sort of giving me the green light, right? So it worked out really well.
Let me ask one question. Did you send 4 personal videos to the 4 people, or you sent one to all of them, or
one
just
video
CEO?
To all 3 of them?
Yeah.
So I addressed them all.
Yeah.
I addressed all 3 of them by name at the beginning, and then I said, hey, I just wanted to kind of summarize, and I just sent it out to all 3 of them.
Very good.
It worked out really well. We ended up getting the case, so.
It's really interesting, because I've had some feedback when I've done videos for prospects. Like, there was a local college in the area that I live and do business in, and I had sent several video summaries about some of the meetings that we actually had, and the one lady had said to me, you know what, Michael, those videos, you can just stop with it. Like, all we need is an email summary, which is good feedback, because not everyone likes video, right? There's different ways that people like to communicate. But I had the stats from the platform. Each of my videos had been opened and watched no less than 10 times. So they were working with somebody, I don't know. And it wasn't like I could track who was viewing it. There was several other stakeholders in the organization. It wasn't her, but it wasn't the broker either.
I'll tell you, I'm one of the people who is not a fan of the video message. And the reason is I read fast.
Yeah.
And I will follow, as John said, your cadence level. So if you're going to talk to me for 30 minutes or 45 seconds, I've read that email in three. So if I get to a Howard email that's got a video message on the top and the text below, I've read the text before he's finished saying, "Hi, it's Howard Kettner from Benefits Genius, just coming into your living room." So when I have a lot to do, I'm going to open that video and read the text, if you're providing a text version, and get through it quicker.
I agree with you. I think that it's different audiences, for sure. We have clients where the plan administrators are older, and we've said, had conversations, said, you know, I just don't watch video. And when I look at my own habits of how I consume content online, there will be times where I do want to watch the review video, and I want to spend the time because I'm really interested in this product, I'm really engaged. And then there's other times where it's kind of like I'm in a rush or I'm in somewhere where I can't watch it and I'll read the review instead of that product. So I think that it's incumbent upon us to have both angles covered, right?
Which is awareness of the audience.
Awareness of the audience for sure, but be able to, if you're going to do both, because if you have a varied, you know, different age demographics and clients and stuff like that, I think it's important to have both. So you can have video, like some of the stuff I send out now with my templated stuff, it has video and then it basically has exactly what the video says below it in text. So they can read it as either text or watch the video.
Changing gears just a little bit, but somewhat related as well. I admire both of you, John and Michael, for the amount of reading you do. And I totally admire Dave because he reads at like 850 words a minute with gusts to 1100 or something.
You send me long emails. It takes me forever, so I learn how to read fast. It's all your fault. I'm just getting fast.
Forget the emails. I sent three-page text.
I've never had three-page text before. Like, what is that? Like, does he always do that to everybody?
That's why his thumbs are nubs.
He's worn them down. Like, to me, if it isn't like four lines and it doesn't end in KK, because that's all my kids are all KK at the end, then it's not a text. Then it's an email. It's not an email, it's a conversation. You know?
But you know, I mean, again, we're all using different tools or the same tools to cut through the noise and get to the buying decision. And so the buying decision, you know the 10 triggers routine. We build out that we're a subject matter authority. We build anticipation. We build trust. John, that book, The Language of Trust, that you put us on to, I mean, that is just amazing. And what, you're on your like third read of it or 33rd read?
Yeah, no, I kind of just go through it. I read it once and then I what I do with all my books is I take a highlighter or a pen, whatever's handy at the time, and I'll underline it. I'll highlight it. I'll dog ear all my pages and then I can go back.
Which I find fascinating in and of itself because it's technology. I mean, how come you're not doing all of this with audiobook, John?
Once again, it's totally your own flavor, your different preference, right? I don't have long commutes to work. I mean, I do driving, but it's a smaller city unless I'm driving somewhere. And even if I'm driving with my family, you know, they don't want to listen to an audiobook. They want to listen to music or something, right? So,
right.
But yeah, no, I prefer reading and having it there. And I can have the physical feeling in my hand. I like to be able to collect the books and put them on the shelf. That's just how I do it, right?
And let me get this straight, just for the people listening who haven't met John, he is not 63 years old. He's quite a bit younger and still reading those, you know, real books.
Yeah.
Because it seems to be a dying trade.
I just like hard copy. You know, that's kind of what one of my visions in life. I want to have like the giant library.
Nice.
In my study.
And read every book.
In my study with my silk sash and my pipe.
Hugh Hefner, basically. I can see it.
But what you're doing is you're applying those principles in your video, in your email, in everything that you're doing with your client and prospect audience, and you're positioning yourself to be the trusted go-to advisor. Michael, you'd put me on to, I think it was Influence by Robert Cialdini, where we're going to talk about it a bit tomorrow. And you're applying those principles likewise. How do you frame that out, or how do you keep that top of mind?
I don't know. I find when you have those books, like, and there's lots of them, Influence and Persuasion and a bunch of them, it's all just trying to understand your client, right? And it says Influence and it says Persuasion, but really at the end of the day,
people buy from people that are like themselves, right? And so it's to go in, be yourself, and reflect what they're reflecting back at you. I think that's at the end of the day.
I think too, like in our industry, like any industry here in sales, like it's about communicating effectively and being able to get across to people and have an effective conversation, right? So when, like same thing with language of trust or persuasion, any of that stuff, it's all about, you know, being able to ask the right questions, knowing how to properly communicate and not doing things that are going to be perceived as, you know, like a fatal flaw that could cause you to lose a case or just lose rapport with someone, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not a big reader of kind of motivational books and stuff. I kind of figure I have to make all the same mistakes that everybody before me has made before I actually learn something. And I remember many, many years ago, a great sales guy that I was trying to sell, he said, you know what? He goes, you're going to win because one, you wear people down. And I went, wow, that's not very good. He goes, no, you're persistent without being insistent. He said, I've spoken to him for about 7 years trying to get his benefits. And I'm the worst closer in the entire world. So every year I talk to him and go, how's renewal? Good. How's your broker? Good. Did you get in to meet you on time? Yeah. Are you happy with things? Yeah. Okay. If you're happy with everything, we'll call it a day. And every year I'd call him and we'd have a longer discussion. By 7 years, I knew his family. We'd had like stories over the phone in these like short phone calls every year at renewal time. And he said, your persistency built a relationship. And he said, and I trusted you. I knew you were going to be around because you've been around for 7 years calling me. He goes, everybody else calls once. You never hear from them again. But when you called every year, you said, you know, last year we talked about your trip on the cruise and we talked about how you hired an extra person and you were thinking about disability coverage and I'd follow up on that. And they go, he goes, you're just persistent. You're not insistent. And that was it. And I got to like you.
Yeah.
So he said, you're the worst salesperson I've ever met. And you will be my broker forever. And I will recommend you to everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know how to take that. You know? And to this day, I still think I'm a good educator, but I think I'm a terrible salesperson.
Yeah.
Because I can do the build the trust and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just not great at going in and asking for the clothes. I tend to walk out and go, I assume that you're not going to hire me unless you stop me before I get to the door and hope they chase me.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, some do.
That's where, circling back to the plan administrator checklist, that the first question you asked me, that's the magic of it. Because like I've used it with prospects and gone through the entire thing saying, you know, and this is your line, I know, hey, Dave, but you know, your broker probably already goes through this stuff with you. And so, you know, like, but let me just humor me and we'll go through it. And to go through the checklist, there's no sale at the end. You just, it's as simple. So that's, you know, that's the information. Do you want to do anything about it? If you do, here's a letter. You know, like that's it.
Yeah.
No books, no bills, no claims experience. Just sign the agent record and they'll ask you if they know what one is.
So Michael's just done something that I've never done. He gave you credit for a line that he used.
Well, he's not Maury McNeil. So that's a big difference right there. That's a big difference. So for our West Coast listeners, they're going to know the difference. And by the way, that's Maury McNeil's name was mentioned one more time. So that's important.
Yeah, that's right. Mark that down.
Yeah, Maury McNeil one more time.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you know, like for language of trust, like what you're describing there and saying, you know, your broker probably already does this stuff. And that's just about not tearing other people down and insulting somebody else. It's building other people up, right?
I'm giving the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, and I mean, as you, and it's not like what we're referring to, I don't think, is motivational. I wouldn't call it a motivational book. It's more of the inside workings of like, it's like understanding the human mind and stuff like that and how people communicate, right? And I find that stuff fascinating because I was not formally trained in sales in any way. So I'm like, you know, I'm a terrible salesperson, but I can build relationships and persistency is key for sure in a lot of cases. Because I had the same thing where I had a guy, he was tough as nails, didn't have a benefit plan. He said, oh, I think we're kind of looking. And it took me over 2 years to get him in as a client. And I think
and
most salespeople give up way too early. They'll call once or twice and they'll get blown off and they'll just on to the next one and they'll forget about it. But if you nurture relationships, like you always talk about, Howard, it's about nurturing relationships. It's about showing value, continuing to stay in touch with little touch points here and there, not bombarding them with information, but just dripping on them with useful stuff.
Take the hint if they're really ditching you.
For sure.
But if there's anything there, my funniest one that I ever had, I use this, talk about this all the time, was I call a guy and I've said, okay, I'd like to, you know, be your broker and this is what I do and everything. This is many years ago. And he's like, you know what, we're really happy with our broker and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, I'm a little bit different. He goes, like, let me just put it simply, it's my brother-in-law. So it's not going to go anywhere. So I'm like, okay, so I make a note on file and I call back in renewal time next year. So I go, hi, we spoke last year and I know you've got a broker and you're really happy. He goes, well, if you know that, you probably know. I go, I know he's your brother-in-law. So all I'm really calling this year is to see if he's still your brother-in-law. How are things over the Thanksgiving table and everything else? And the guy starts laughing. He goes, are you serious? You're waiting for my sister to divorce the guy to become the broker. I'm like, listen.
The ultimate vulture.
Yeah. I go, listen, I'm just hanging around and having a conversation with a guy. It's you that kind of suggested that. I thought he might have been tragically killed or something. And he's laughing and I'm laughing. He goes, does this work for you? I go, at some point, I go, we're going to have a conversation that's going to be funny and different and stuff. So he goes, yeah, no, he's still my brother-in-law. He's still invited to Thanksgiving. The next year, it wasn't so good.
Oh.
And so I said, oh, I said, okay, I've joked about it. And I said, you know, I hope he's still alive. He goes, he's still alive, but if he comes near me, he won't be. And I'm like, so does this mean I have a shot at your benefits? He goes, you got a shot at it. But he goes, like, there's a lot of dynamics. And they're in the middle of selling their business. And yeah. There's a family involved. And things were tearing apart. So it ended up pretty badly. I never got them as a client.
You're memorable at that point, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got to make a mark, right? You can't get in when the brother-in-law there. You can't get in when it's the best friend who's a broker. You sure as hell ain't getting in if it's Uncle Lori.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Is that a challenge? Just because, should I just start calling up some of his clients and see? Just
totally.
Ask them? Just,
totally.
Just for fun?
No, yeah. I mean, it's awesome. So he has a client that is just done and done with calls from other brokers. And so they just say, hey, our benefits are handled by the owner's uncle, Uncle Lori, we call him here. Like, it is just done. So, and you know, I think that's just a reflection of how our audience has changed. They're getting bombarded with so many calls. And like you said, Dave, like, let's get the quick sale. One call, two calls, three calls, no more. That would be it. I mean, I'm taking so much comfort out of this conversation. You have no idea, because as an advisor, I would go home to my wife and say, you know what? I am the master of the 12 meeting close. And I ended up coining that because there was a prospect 2 hours out of town and I had a client next door to him, and for 12 quarters in a row, I dropped in and how's it going? And the relationship was not even about benefits. Like, I'd walk into his office and he'd say, Howard, like, I know you're working hard to grow your business. You know, you have 4 boys. Have you gotten away with them for a couple of weeks at a time? Like, this is an important time to be building those memories. And that's where the conversation would go. And you talk about a lifetime client. I literally ended up with him and his 120 employees as a client and 20 years until the day he died and the business was dissolved. But there just weren't conversations around product, process, or price unless he wanted to take the discussion there. I just say, anything happening with benefits that's interesting? Anything you want just a second opinion on? And that's where we would go. And just like this conversation, we're talking about building success, and product, process, and price has not come up as one of the fundamentals. Not that that isn't important to the delivery.
Can we put the persistence in front of the product, price, and everything?
Yeah.
It's persistence then.
It's persistence is number one. And a positive persistence, like, you know, anybody listening will have figured out that this isn't an obnoxious kind of persistence. It's building that lifetime relationship. So, John, Michael, you're in a different generation and you're seeing things through different eyes than Dave and I. Now I'm categorizing Dave as old because I'm trying to drag somebody to this side of the table.
I am on this side of the table. I got a great beard.
So what's working and what's not working and what are you seeing? And are you scared that the bots are going to take your business or what's happening?
You know, I have a brother. I have three brothers and the one right underneath me. He's so into technology and loves it. And he at one point was going online to shop for everything. Like, everything was coming through Amazon. Everything was through the online portals for each of his, you know, the suppliers of whatever he was buying.
Well, and I remember Rick saying, all retail outlets are going to be reduced to a kiosk where you go in and feel the fabric and then you go out and order online.
That's right. But that's not what ended up happening to him. Like, he does all the research online, but when he wants to buy the next pair of, I don't know, Lululemon shorts,
he goes to the store, he tries it on, then he buys it at the store. And if it's a repeat purchase, then yeah, maybe he'll go on to the online portal and, you know, order the same short.
Is he meeting girls at Lululemon, or is he married?
He's married, I think his wife prefers him in Lululemon for some reason. So.
Gifting stuff for her, too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Wear this. So, like, who wants to buy a bass guitar online? Like, no, you want to
you gotta
hear it. You gotta, like, what's the texture of that sound? I think group benefit, like, yeah, you could knock off and buy a group benefit plan online. And for a lot of people, they understand that benefits is just the how on getting a specific why. And you gotta have the advice on what to do in order to get to the why. And I think that's where salespeople and consultants and brokers will always have a place in our business.
Yeah. I totally agree. I'm not too concerned at all about robo-advisors or any of that stuff coming along. I think that we're still way far out from the technology and the artificial intelligence being at that point. And I'm in the same camp as you, Michael, where, like, I will do research for stuff online, but I like to see and hold things physically, and, like, for especially for things like clothing. For certain products, yeah, you can buy stuff online. But for clothing, I typically never buy clothes online because I like to try it on first to know how it fits, right?
Okay, I'm going to throw in, because I'm not an average size person,
yeah,
I get most of my stuff online because I can't find it in stores. Everybody stops shoes at size 12, maybe 13, I'm 14 or 15. Everybody stops clothes that are made for people under 6'2", I'm 6'7". So I kind of go the other way. And I am a little bit worried about robo-advisors. Not in taking my job away, but creating more risk than we need.
Yes.
And we used to talk about life insurance and being sold online, and it's really easy. It's easy up until you ask a question like, are you a smoker?
Yeah.
Well, what's a smoker? Is, you know, like, we know there's different classifications. And I'm worried about some of the new stuff. We just saw this week launched, one of the big three has a built-in automated system for group insurance that will go straight to your client. And in the last quarter, tell them they should use up all their health spending account dollars because they haven't used it all up before the end of the year. And they think this is a great thing.
Right.
Their employers are not at all pleased because,
well, why would,
you know,
they?
Yeah. And most of the health spending account is used in parameds, which is where the biggest fraud is. So the insurance company is trying to drive claims to drive profit, and it's driving fraud.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is,
well,
the same
week, on the eve of what's,
yeah, the $5 million lawsuit. By the TTC, Toronto Transit Commission, against Manulife, front page of the Toronto Star, because of lack of fraud controls and inappropriate management systems and stuff. So I worry that they're going to create a risk and try to solve a problem very simply.
Yeah,
I think that's the exciting part, though. And not to say that
a differentiator.
Those lawsuits are exciting, but I think once a couple of those bad experiences go through the pipe, like, it's like buying, Lululemon shorts online, and they just come not the way you expected.
The see-through loop?
Yeah, right.
That's a real thing. I'm not making this up.
I remember that.
And so, like, they just won't have that experience again. They're going to the store next time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as long as we're there to catch them after, a potential bad experience has happened.
Well, I spoke to a broker today, young, very aggressive, and they're calling every single prospect that's with Manulife. And they're saying, we're having a conversation about this. And I said, well, what about that? And they go, and that's our second list. We're calling every single Sun Life client because of that. And then we're calling every Great West one, or we already did, when they did the bank layoffs, to say,
yeah,
we anticipate poor service coming up. So therefore, we're using our database to mine who our prospects are with those companies to go in and attack.
Now, I noticed you named the problem from Great West Life, but you didn't name the problem from Sun Life or Manu.
Well, Manu. Oh, should I?
I don't know.
No. So Great West was downsizing.
Yeah.
Manulife is a lawsuit by the Toronto Transit Commission. And Sun Life introduced Ella, which is the automated process, which will actually try and do direct sales and use up your health spending account. And I could go beyond, but that's just three examples.
And that's kind of what I was getting at with some products you can buy online, some things you can do, some things you just can't. Like,
yeah.
I think it was TD who put tons of money into trying to do direct sales for life insurance, and it failed miserably.
Yeah.
People have tried, the insurance companies will always try to do that, and they'll always try to circumvent advisors and then realize, hold on, people need to talk to an actual person to get their questions answered to make sure they have the right coverage. And the same thing with, Zenefits. the recent release there where they talked about, you know what, we realized that
brokers matter.
Brokers are probably the most important part of the relationship when it comes to benefits. So we're going to leave that. We're going to actually now have partners and partner to have the brokers sell the benefits.
Did
and we'll deal with the HR portion of it.
So I'm going to add to something you said, Dave, and you said put the persistence in front of, what did I say,
product,
process, and price. Well, one more I put in front then, and that would be person-centered. That's
the
favorite topic.
Can you use the word pulse?
Pulse, persistence.
Yeah.
And person-centered, which
yeah.
is a favorite theme of our good friend Paul Wheeler,
that's right.
who's spoken at Benefits Genius events. And Paul does this. Well, he's the Western Canadian master trainer, I think, for person-centered learning. And he just talks about being genuinely curious about the person. And I don't think any robot is there yet or will be there for a while. And so what is it a person wants?
That's a fantastic thing. And I do it unconsciously, I think. But I was talking to somebody the other day.
You definitely do.
Yeah, we sat down at a renewal meeting, and the book is to the side. The renewal package is all to the side. So I go, so what's going on? How's life? How's business? What's your next vacation? You know, are you growing? Are you, you know, thriving? What are your numbers compared to last year? And you have this whole long preamble conversation. And part of it is, okay, disarm the person. You're kind of trying not to get right to numbers and everything else unless somebody's a real rush. But part of it is, I want to know how your business is doing. I genuinely want to know that you're being successful or not. Because if you come across it like, it's been a brutal year, well, maybe that 7% rate increase, maybe we should be looking at some alternatives. Whereas on a great year, you just go, that's just the price of doing business. So you're doing a bit of fact finding and bringing the person out and the business and everything else all at the same time. And to me, it's just, it's the only way I know how to do it. Like, I can't just sit down and do a renewal and open the book and start going through the numbers and stuff. So I've never had a label for it, you know.
Person-centered listening, I think. I'm so fortunate to have had so many great mentors when I was coming into the business. And one of them ended up being like client number 3, 4, or 5, something like that. And I called on them a couple of times. I'd known him from a previous life in the forest industry. He ran a forest industry company. So I'll give you a context. It's 1982. He's going back into a logging season. They're still selling lumber. But he's having a hard time finding contractors because many of the contractors were operating on thin margins. Anybody that lived through 1982 knows we went through 20% interest rates. Their equipment was repossessed. He needs contractors for his logging operation. He's struggling. And he said, Howard, he helped me ask a question then of all future clients. Why did you hire me? But he volunteered because I wasn't asking. He said, Howard, you're probably wondering why I hired you. Because, I mean, I was a rookie a couple of years in the business. I said, oh, yeah, by all means, let me know. He said, here's the deal. I've had an insurance agent for 15 years. And you know how he came in last week? He came in smoking on a cigar. But smoking back in those days in the office was acceptable. My client did, so no big deal there. Smoking on a big cigar and spent the first 15 minutes telling me about how he had spent his last 3 weeks in Europe. Ugh. I'm trying to keep my company glued together. You grew up in the forest industry. You understand the forest industry. You're my guy. Got rid of a 15-year relationship. What a wonderful learning my second year in the business. Like, you can't buy
relatable.
That.
Relatable, yeah. Relatable.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And so I think, you know, person-centered, whatever it is just an amazing journey to go down that road. It's terribly rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, same thing when you do renewals. If there's a client maybe that you don't, you know, have the best relationship with, it's not nearly as, you know, it's always nerve-wracking or you're not.
It's work.
You know, it's work, right? Whereas most people, you know, I'm fortunate enough to say that, like, most of our clients, like, you know, pretty much all of them we have great relationships with, right? It's very rare that you have one that you're not connected with very well, right?
The secret is pick great clients, and great clients will pick you. And
yeah.
I always say there's nothing more cathartic than firing a bad client. You just end up being so much more successful, you know, when you do it. And there's nothing as great as having a great client and being able to share stories over the years and watch families grow up and all the stuff that we get lucky enough to be. And you're in the tragedy. You'll deal with deaths and disabilities and catastrophic health cases and stuff like that. But you realize how much value you have to give to your clients, and over decades. You know, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We're very lucky.
Well, here we are on the eve of a great event, another day and a half of Benefits Genius. Each of you is going to be sharing your wisdom. And as we say about the event, it's about content, and there'll certainly be lots of great content, thanks to the three of you bringing your genius experiences and wisdom to the room. There's going to be some great connections there, some Benefits Genius members working on little joint ventures, working on projects together, sharing intelligence, just like you have here, John and Michael, about videos. And then there's the wisdom of the crowd. We haven't somehow, between the four of us, locked up all the wisdom. Everybody is bringing wisdom because, without exception, the attendees are focused on a bigger future, making sure that happens, and better yet, helping each other make sure it happens for the individuals in the room.
It's very cool what you bring together, all these people, and how they're really good at it. They do share. It's amazing.
Well, thanks to each of you for sharing conversation insights with our audience. And yeah, this is on the eve of, and it'll be published obviously after the event. But
so what I was not going to say is, you want to make sure you're at the next one, so you're not hearing about it after the fact. You want to be there in attendance.
Well put, Dave. Thanks, guys. This is awesome.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Howard Kettner again, and thanks for continuing to listen. I promised you something a little extra. I had the thought that you might like to take a peek at some of the technology tips and tools that I use in my business to make me more efficient and effective every day. Let me know what you think. If this is something that I continue doing as a little add-on to the podcasts, just know that I'm simply sharing tips and tools that I use without receiving any form of compensation whatsoever for my mentioning them. I'm sharing these for one reason, because at the point in time when I mention them, they make me better than I'd be without them. So here goes. Mobile Assistant. You can find it at mobileassistant.us. Here's the problem Mobile Assistant solves. Do you find that some of your best ideas come to you at the most inconvenient moments, meaning when you're cycling, running, driving, or doing yard work, a mile or miles away from your computer and your keyboard or the nearest pencil and paper? Me too, but typically we've got our mobile device on us. So here's how I use Mobile Assistant. I either hit my speed dial selection on my cell phone's favorites list, or say something like, "Hey Siri, call Mobile Assistant." The super easy setup with Mobile Assistant helps make it possible for you to initiate a single command that results in your getting a full written text transcript of the recorded message that you leave in your private Mobile Assistant file. You get a fully editable transcript in 24 hours or less. Now you've captured that idea with all of its creative nuances, nuances that are so hard to recall later, or you've dictated the outline for a follow-up meeting, or that just right closing paragraph for a compelling executive summary that you've been thinking about. And then you get on with the rest of your trip, your workout, or your yard chores. Mobile Assistant's monthly costs are a mere fraction of what you'd pay a staff member for a day. Best of all, you can try it for 30 days to see if it works for you. Try it free for 30 days to see if it works for you. Again, mobileassistant.us. That's mobileassistant.us. Hey, let me know if this little add-on to the regular podcast is something you'd like to see continue. Shoot me a note, Howard at benefitsgenius.ca.